Welcome, students. I am Professor Pranav Bhatia, and I'll be taking you through global strategies and the future of retail. So it all started with globalization of retail. The key drivers behind globalization of retails are the market saturation, access to growing consumer markets, cost advantages, technological advancement, competition, and risk diversification. Now, what has happened? There was a time when the globalization happened in India and the markets were open. Now, the factors which affected, there was no globalization, there were no brands coming, there was saturation point, there was sort of a monopoly, there was no cost benefit available to consumers. But when the market opened, there were a lot of things which came into India and which helped the Indian markets. So obviously, there were times where the products, international products, were smuggled into our country. Sometimes they have to pay a lot of custom duties. Technologies were not available real time. There was very less competition and there was very less risk diversification. See, the global market provides immense opportunities driven by factors such as rise of emerging markets, evolving consumer preferences, digitalization, convergence of online and offline channels. However, navigating the complexities of global retail requires a deep understanding of market trends, cultural nuances, and regulatory environment requirements. So what happened is when the globalization happened, there was markets had opened, and with that there was an influx of technology which has evolved the customer preferences. So what earlier was getting launched in a US market or in a China market or any other European market, now it is getting launched simultaneously in India, and that's what the biggest advantage for the Indian consumers. The next factor about globalization of retail for Indian retailers have been influenced by several key factors: economic liberalization, market saturation, growth potential, technological advancement, consumer preferences, access to global supply chain, government support and initiatives. So when the globalization happened, though there was no longer the products were being only used by the peers abroad. So it also brought a lot of positive points. There was a rise in income during that period when the globalization happened. During that period, there was a rise in middle class incomes. The husband and wife both were working. It was a nuclear family. Since the income increased, their spending power increased. And they wanted to try new brands. And the young generation wanted to try out a lot of products. You know, so that rising middle class was helping the globalization as well. It was fueling the growth. The purchase power had increased. And the young generation wanted to use and experience the new products. So the first thing was the policies. When the government opened the sector for foreign investors and foreign brands, it helped, it fueled the industry as well. The economic growth started happening. People were used to only selected products. Now they had a lot of choice, a lot of options available to choose and select. And that also, so when the foreign brands came in India, there was an access to the global supply chain. So there was a supply chain which was very advanced in different countries. So those people brought their supply chain technologies to India, and we also got access to the global supply chain options. The historical perspective on globalization of retail: the journey began with international trade and colonization. Post-World War, India experienced a surge in global retail expansion, capitalizing on growing consumer demand, economic and rebuilding. So obviously, after World War, there was a slowdown which happened, and then the market started picking up. So there was a benefit for India as well. Now, post 1990s, when the liberalization happened, it also brought a lot of advancement in transportation. It also brought a lot of good supply in logistics and communication technologies, enabling Indian retailers to expand globally and more efficiently. So we, after 1990s, there was a supply chain advancement, a lot of technology came in, and we started also using it and leveraging it on the international level as well. The internet and e-commerce revolutionized the retail in the late 20th century, allowing Indian retailers to establish a global online presence. So moment we started opening our market, there was digitalization, there was inputs of technology, and there was a lot of inputs coming from various foreign partners. So we also opened, there was internet and there was e-commerce revolutionization, which helped Indian economy to start sending their products abroad as well and putting an online presence, coming with an online presence. So today, Indian retailers continue to embrace globalization, leveraging technologies, strategic partnerships to thrive in evolving global retail landscape. So moment we have Amazon coming in, we have eBay, we have a lot of other online platforms. Now the any product, any Indian product can be sent across to any part of the world. So we have also embraced the technology. We were accepting new technologies, and the Indian generation wanted to try out and wanted to sell the products on any corner of the world. So that also helped the Indian retailers to embrace globalization and move ahead and show the world that, okay, yes, we can also do it. There are key factors driving the expansion of retail business across borders. The expansion of retail business across borders is driven by several key factors like market saturation, growth potential, economies of large scale, competitive advantage, access to resources. So prior to 1990, before the globalization, there was a lot of restrictions. There was people have to wait long time for when they apply for a landline number or a landline connection. They have to wait for 1 or 2 years. That was post-independence time period. If somebody wants to book a bike, there was a waiting period for that. The markets were controlled by few people who had monopoly over it. There were very less options available for the customers. So whatever is the available, they had to choose and pick between them only. So if there were only two products, if there was a monopoly of two big manufacturers or the sellers, then the customer had only option of option A or option B. But post-globalization, what happened? The market opens. There were 5-6 industries or 5-6 companies. They are offering the same product at different, with a good quality, better quality at a reasonable price. So that has helped now. So what has happened is there was a market saturation that time. Growth potential was very less. There was no technologies available. There was no options available. Economics of sale was there. Competitive advantage also started coming in. So moment there were, when the foreign brands started coming in, it gave competition to the local brands and it forced the local brands to better their quality and reduce the cost and offer a better product or a good product at a reasonable price. So that is the key factor which drives the retail business across borders. Technological advancement. Key factors driving the expansion of retail business across borders are technical advancement, diversification and risk management, strategic partnership and acquisitions, brand recognition and the prestige, government policies and incentives. So moment the government policies were enhanced and updated, it also provided a lot of incentives to the retailers that really boosted the retail business across the border. Now what happens when a person does a tie-up with an online business across the border? The risk is also taken care of. Since the technology is used, technical advancement, this has also helped into reducing the risk. So risk mitigation is done because the supply chain is already in the place. They know that, okay, what would be the time limit, how it would be sent across, what would be the time limits. So there were deadlines and then everything was taken care of. Strategic partnership and acquisition has also helped. So there were foreign partners who have done a strategic partnership with Indian companies, or there was an acquisitions where they came, they bought the companies and they bought their good knowledge, what they have, the better practices, what they had. So already the standard operating procedures were there. They have done their mistakes. They've learned it and they know that, okay, this is the best way of supplying product at very quick pace at a reasonable price. So all those best practices were available, which were bought in due to strategic partnership and acquisitions, and which has always helped the Indian business to expand and send business across borders. Overview of global retail trends, retail trends and opportunities. The global retail market is experiencing significant trends and opportunities driven by shifting consumer behaviors, technological advancement and evolving market dynamics. So what has happened is that customer now wants, so there was a time where the customer center, customer happiness was one point, then it came customer delight. Now customer wants an experience. So the customer behavior is constantly changing. It is, it's getting upgraded. Day by day, the demands of the consumers have been increasing. So what happened when a customer enters a store? So they want an experience. They just don't want a customer delight or they just don't want customer satisfaction. They want an experience. So when they enter a mall, they want to see that they spend good time over there. A day well spent, that's the sentence I would like to use over here. So they want to do a shopping, they want to have watch a movie, they want to then play games, they want to have a good food. And when they leave, at the end of the day, what they wanted to say that, okay, it was a day well spent. So right from entering the mall, parking, the experience has to be seamless. You know, so it has to be good parking, the guard has to wish, everything is available, the salesperson are available to help the customers, food is hot and piping, it is a lot of options available, whether different cuisines are used over there. So they are looking for the experience. So that's how I would say that this is how the consumer behaviors have shifted. Technological advancement and evolving market dynamics. When I say technological advancement, there has been a shift. A lot of people have been started using mobiles. There are a lot of apps which gives an experience over there. Everything is available on a touchpad, keypad. Every knowledge, every small detail is available. So if a customer wants to buy something and he wants to check the price, there are 3 to 4 websites where he can compare. The options are available. He can choose, pick 2 websites, put 2-3 different products, do a comparison, do an analysis, and then he can buy. So that technological advancement has really helped. The cost of data, usage of internet has significantly come down. So the Indian youth is using the internet like nothing like it was 10-15 years before. But the usage has increased, and that has also brought a lot of young generation. So there is a Generation X, there's Generation Y, there's Generation ZZ, Gen Z as well. So the preferences of Gen Z has gone way ahead, and they are very tech savvy. They know how to use technology, and that is also helping evolving market dynamics. Overview of global retail market trends and opportunities. So one prominent trend is the rise of e-commerce, which has transformed the retail landscape. So there are a lot of players which have come in. So we have Indian companies called Flipkart, we have Amazon, there was a lot of other companies which have come. So there was a rise in e-commerce, there were big players as well. And then what happened, the consumer started getting a lot of options. So any particular product which was a product A, which was available on one website, was again available at another website on a very reasonable rate. So the customer can pick, choose, and there is an option available. So the product remains the same, the supplier remains the same, the manufacturer remains the same, but there are different retailers available, or there are different platforms. Depending upon their capacities, they were offering the price. So that has definitely helped the consumer to pick and choose what they want be available to get the product which is in the latest trend. So they want to be in vogue, they want to be in sync with what is happening with their friends or peers who are staying in abroad, and whatever is launched over there is simultaneously available over here. The second point about the trends and opportunities is online shopping and digital platform have gained immense popularity, offering convenience, wider product selection, personalized experiences for consumers. So when I talk about online shopping and digital platforms, the policies have been, that there have been a change in policies, exchange policies. So the convenience is the first point which is taken care of. So if someone wants to buy online, there is a technology available where they can see actually on the online platform, you can see how a particular shirt looks on that particular customer. So you can put a photograph, you can look at the shirt, how it looks on your body. They can pick and select, and select the size as well. Now, if the size doesn't fit properly, the exchange policy is so easy that you just need to put the request on the app, or need to call the customer care, request for the pickup. There is a reverse supply chain which happens, and the product is taken care of. The money is again credited back in the account. So there is a easy mode of exchange. So the first thing is the convenience, which is the convenience. It is the time limit which has reduced. So there are certain websites which deliver 24-hour service. Some consumers get products delivered within 2 days time. Although they commit 3 or 4 days, but it gets delivered within 2 days as well. So again, the customer delight, customer satisfaction is taken care of. So what happens in case the consumer doesn't have time to go to a retail store or a mall, then the consumer can at his convenience order and get it delivered. So depending upon the membership or subscription, the supply chain is taken care of, and there is a wider product selection which is available. also a personalized experience for consumers. So if the consumer takes a subscription, a paid subscription, and becomes a gold member, so there are different levels. So there would be a normal subscription, there would be a gold subscription, and it's the same way. So if depending upon the subscription, the personalized experience can be made, and it can be provided to the consumer. Now, if you see global retail industry growth rate, which is for 2020 to 2026, now if you see, there is in 2020 there was -2.6%, then in 2021 it went straight to 12.5%, 2022 it was 6.9%, 2023 it was 3.9%, 2024 is expected at 4.3%, 2025 there is a dip. If you compare in 2024, it has come down to 3.7, and 2026 it will be there in 3.4. So basically in 2021, we all know that there was a pandemic and there was COVID. So that period, there was a lockdown and people were in their houses. So that has boosted the online industry business, which shot up to 12.5%. And then now it has again stabilized. But that increase has been always been there over there. So how are retailers leveraging this trend? So retailers are leveraging this trend by investing in a robust e-commerce infrastructure, enhancing their online presence, and adopting innovative technologies such as mobile commerce, augmented reality, and social commerce. So what has happened because of pandemic, the people whose business were offline, they also realized that there is a potential of shifting it to online. And there was immediate shift which was needed during the pandemic. So what happens, they started getting in touch with a lot of organizations who help into setting up an e-commerce business. There was a payment gateway which needs to be done. So the products were available, the platforms were available. So few examples are like Flipkart, Amazon. So they were available over there. They were started delivering products. Even a local kirana person started sending products at home delivery, taking care of all the COVID protocols. So since there was a demand, the supply had to change. There was immediate shift. Now, because of mobile penetration and the reasonable or a very cheap data available, which has also, you know, fueled the request and, you know, the demands of the consumers. So as I talk about the augmented reality, so there is a brand where if somebody wants to buy spectacles, they just need to upload their picture and try and see the frames, the spectacle frame, how does it look on the face of the person. So that person doesn't have to actually go physically go to a spectacle shop, try different frames, then ask for a review from a friend or a colleague or a wife or from email members. The person himself can check the frames and wear it. So that was with regards to the spectacles. Similarly, there is another option available that you can try a t-shirt online. You can just put your body or face, try the dress, how it looks, and then it is definitely you can pick and select. That is readily available. So these options are available now. The growing integration of online and offline channels through omnichannel strategies is another key trend, allowing retailers to bridge gap between digital and physical retail environments. So it can also happen that a customer can choose, select a product and make a payment, and they can also pick it up from the offline store. That is also available. That option is also available. Again, in case if the physically, if it's not available in the physical store, offline store, then they can select it online, and from the supply chain or from the warehouse, it can be delivered as per the convenience of the customer. So there is a, you can say online and offline both have their own benefits, and they have been helping each other so that the gap is bridged and customer has a nice experience. Other growing trends, so definitely moving ahead, technological advancements such as artificial intelligence, data analytics, and Internet of Things are reshaping the global retail market. So what has happened is because of artificial intelligence and AI, there is a lot of data which has been captured, and it has been used in a very appropriate manner. So how a customer buys, the entire life cycle of his buying is captured. What are his or her preferences? So normally in a coffee shop, when a customer walks in, so how much time they are spending in a coffee shop, what they ordered, what are their favorite products on the menu, What are they regularly buying? This data is readily available and it has been analyzed, and there is can be used for a customer delight or customer best customer experience. So it can also happen that a customer walks in depending upon their regular requirement. The coffee is already ready. It can also happen that. So this has also helped intelligence, artificial intelligence already help in analyzing and forecasting. So if there is a forecast, or normally if a customer is buying one product regularly for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, so data is readily available and the organization now know that, okay, these are his requirements, or probably next month also he's going to order the same product. So basically it has helped them to analyze and work around the supply chain as well as the production. So all those department can work together and give a seamless experience to the consumer. Similarly, Internet of Things has also helped into global market. So there are a lot of security products available that can be used via IoT. So in case if a customer is about to reach their house, so with using IoT, they can switch on the AC. So by the time the consumer reaches home, the AC is scheduled for a temperature at 24 hours, the room is already cool. Similarly, in case if you forgot to switch off a geyser or something, that can be switched off using internet via wireless as well. So there are applications available, there are a lot of apps available, there are a lot of products available which are integrated with internet, and that has also helped a consumer to have a move ahead in that growing trend. The next point is the increasing demand for sustainable and ethical practices in global retail market. So since the CSR is into demand, and the lot of people, lot of consumers and lot of organizations are moving towards sustainable practices. So a lot of products are eco-friendly products. They are now being, there's a demand for eco-friendly products. They are ensuring that there's no harm on the environment. A lot of energy consuming industries have shifted to solar and ethical practices. So now a lot of products are, there is a ban on usage of chemical products on animals and other species. So in with regards to the cosmetic industry, a lot of ethical practices have started. They have stopped doing testing on the animals. There are a lot of vegan products available. So customer is also demanding, they want a sustainable product which has the organization, and they are choosing the organization which are having ethical practices. So those organizations are also in demand, and that has also helped fuel the growth of all these organizations. Other growing trends, retailers also exploring emerging technologies like blockchain for supply chain transparency and virtual reality for immense shopping experiences. So as I said, because of globalization and because of strategic partnership and acquisitions, we have been getting direct exposure of the supply chain, what is tried, trusted abroad. They have the best practices over there. So we are also emerging, we are also getting those knowledge, and we are using it over here in India in supply chain as well. As there's a transparency, there's a real-time updates available. So if the product is, just give an example, if I order something from Amazon and the supplier is based in Gurgaon, so I get clear-cut updates that, okay, the product has moved from the Gurgaon DC to Delhi. From Delhi, it has now been shipped. From Delhi, it took a flight, it come to India in Mumbai. I'm so sorry. And then from Mumbai, it has reached in the DC, which is distribution center. And then it has started for the delivery. And there's a detailed trend which comes. There's a detailed SMS which comes that, okay, the product is out for delivery and so person is going to deliver. So there is a seamless experience, there is a complete data which is available. You can track your product at any given point of time. This is called last mile delivery. So they have made such technologies available. There is a transparency. You can pick and choose. So if the delivery is delayed, somebody gets in touch with the consumer saying that, okay, there is a delay because of so-and-so reasons. So this is what the emerging trend is. The customer gets live updates about the products, what they have ordered. Moving ahead, the growing middle class is emerging market is driving the demand for higher products, high quality products, premium brands and enhanced shopping experiences. So there was a time when an iPhone is launched and it would take 1 or 2 years to come to India. Now, if an iPhone new variant is launched, it gets launched simultaneously in US, it gets launched in Dubai, it gets launched in India, it gets launched in India, Mumbai as well at the same time. So the consumer doesn't have to wait, or they have to, whatever is available, it's launched together at one go. So now the consumer, the rising middle class, they are very demanding. They want the latest trends which is available within their reach. They are willing to pay, they are ready to pay for the expenses. They want that experience because the rising middle class have more purchasing power. So they are demanding and they need high quality products at a premium range. They are buying more luxurious products. There is a demand. So once there is demand is satisfied about one particular brand, they try to move to the next level, and then similarly they want to try more luxurious products. So in that way they want to enhance their shopping experiences. Coming to market analysis, conducting a thorough market analysis before expanding globally is utmost important for several reasons. Understanding the market dynamics, identify opportunities and risk, developing a targeted market strategy, evaluating market entry barriers, resource allocation and operational planning, establishing realistic financial projection. Market analysis. So what happens when a person or a person from the retail background or who wants to get into the online thing, they need to understand the market dynamics. So there is a lot of cost involved. Shifting from online to offline, there is risk also available. There has to be planning how much manpower is needed, how much logistics is needed, who will pick the product, who will deliver the product, who will pack the product. So there is a huge cost involved. There is a cost involved, and this is called a capital cost. So first, what a person who wants to get into the business needs to understand, what are the markets, what are the market dynamics, who are the consumers, will they buy this product, what are the options available for them right now in the market. So that analysis needs to be done, identifying the opportunities. So is the market ready? Will the consumer going to buy this product? What is the marketing strategy? How it is going to be? If the product is launched, what would be the marketing strategies, whether it's online or offline, what would be the discounts offered, whether it would be an ATL activity or BTL activity, or whether it's totally online. That needs to be, the strategy needs to be in the place. Evaluating market entry barriers. So what are the barriers which are going to, help, or market, evaluating market barriers, where, what could be the challenges they're going to face if they come into the market. What would be the challenges they are going to face? Resource allocation and operational planning. So once the product is launched, there is an ongoing expenditure which is going to happen. So what would be resource allocation? How much manpower would be needed? That also planning needs to be done. Establishing realistic financial projection. So whenever any business is done, there is a cost analysis which is done, or there is a feasibility report which is being made. Now coming to offline retail, there is a study which is done, which is called feasibility study, that is also done with regards to the online business as well. So with going back to the physical stores, it is called catchment analysis. So if a person is going to a retail, opening a retail store in a specific mall or in a specific high-end area, so what happens if they check in the catchment area study, they check what is the population, what is the density, how much people are educated, what is the number of youth over there, will the youth spend money over there, what are the other brands, what are the numbers coming in, what are the spending power of the particular area of that community, what are the number of newspapers being used, what are the number of business being generated by the current people who are having store over there. So that comes with regards to the offline retail. Similarly, coming back to online, there is a feasibility report, and there is a report which is generated with use projection about 5 years. So when the cost, when there would be profit, when there would be reducing the cost. So the first 3 years are taking into consideration the rent, electricity, a lot of cost which are involved, the capex which is called capital expenditure. So that is also considered. So there is a 5 year projection when they will break even, when the profit will start coming in. Now, after this detailed study, which comes under financial projections, then the decision is taken that whether we should open this store or whether we should start this business or not. So once there is a green signal, obviously there is a lot of money which is invested, and the projection needs to ensure that they start earning profits, the product is delivered, the cost analysis is done, and they break even as soon as possible. Market analysis is particularly crucial for businesses embarking on global retail expansion. When expanding globally, businesses face diverse market with unique characteristic consumer behaviors and competitive landscape. Now, what happens when embarking a global retail expansion, when someone starts doing a business abroad? So the normal local person who's doing business doesn't know how the person, the consumer, are going to behave, because it's such a challenge. Indian markets, they are aware that, okay, this is how consumer behave. Normally, consumer, there is a shift when a particular product is available for a discount. Some people will leave that brand, they will leave that loyalty for a discount. So they will move from, they move their loyalty towards price sensitive market. Now, which we don't know. So, you know, when shifting abroad or sending, doing business abroad, there's a diverse market. The Indian retailer doesn't know how he's going to face the issues over there. They don't know the consumer behavior. What are the competitive landscape over there? What are the products available? So this needs a detailed market analysis. Factors that need to be considered before analyzing global retail markets. What is the market size and growth potential? Yes, definitely, as I said earlier, there's a feasibility report. So this point is very important. What is the market size and what is the growth potential? There has to be a detailed study to be done in that. Cultural and social economic factors. So there's a lot of research needs to be done with regards to the cultural and socioeconomic points, how it's going to affect them, how the product is going to help, how it's going to do in that market, specifically market. Regulatory environment. So what are the rules and regulations? So every company, every country has their own law of land. So the person who's doing, wanted to do business, or any businessman wants to do business abroad, needs to follow law of land. So there are again rules, like there should be, if it's a packed product, then it has to have regulatory environment with regards to the packing, expiry dates, what are licenses are required. So in case of pesticide, then those licenses to be acquired. So in short, the law of land needs to be followed. Whatever the laws are over there, that regulatory environment needs to be followed. Competitive landscape. So what are the products, the same products, what are the who are the competitors, what are the products they are offering, what are the prices, what is the range they are offering, how many product lines they have. So again, there would be a competitive analysis needs to be done. It has to be also included in the feasibility report. Infrastructure and logistics. So where would be the warehouse? How would be the supply chain? Again, a detailed analysis is done with regards to the infrastructure and logistics. How a product would be delivered within a day or within 2 days? What is the area, periphery? Again, a detailed analysis is done and needs to be a thorough introspective analysis needs to be done on that. Consumer behavior and preferences. So as I said, there is a feasibility report or there is a catchment study analysis. So they need to understand, using artificial intelligence, and how what are the consumer behavior, what are their preferences, how they behave in case if it's a price sensitive market, or is there any youth over there who wants to shift loyalty because of price, or there is a youth demand who wants a new product, wants to try and go ahead with new products as well. Economic factors. So as I said, when a study is done, they see the income of the, how much is the nuclear family, what are the income factors, economic factors of this family, is there husband and wife both earning, both spending, how many of them are working for an IT sector, or how many of them working, obviously the salaries are on a higher side if a couple is working in IT sector. So their spending power is also more. So that is one of the aspects. How many people are doing business over there? How many people are working on job? What is the spending pattern? How much they save? How many people are below poverty line? How many people are average middle class? How many people are from the higher strata of the income? So that comes under economic factors. Technological landscape. Yes, definitely. As I said, because of emergence of mobile and mobile internet, so that comes into very much existence. Technological landscape helps if there's a more youth staying in that particular area using internet, and they have a lot of options available. So if there's a youth, there is a demand, there is a usage of technology. As I said earlier, there is a Gen X, Gen Y, and Gen Z now. So Gen Z is very tech-savvy. They know how to use technology. They want instant gratification. So more number of Gen Z people, definitely it has, they want more products available at a good quality and at a fast pace. Risk assessment, as I said earlier, whenever exploring a new market, risk assessment is done, risk mitigation is done. So what if product fails? So and definitely they don't want any product to fail over there. So they also consider that, okay, when your projection is done for next 5 years, risk assessment is taken care of. Now all these factors are taken care of before working on that market entry strategies. So before entering any market, they have to study well. They have to ensure all these points, all these 7, 8 points are taken care of. And what would be the marketing strategy, how they are going to use it, how to enter a market. A detailed study needs to be done before entering the new markets.